O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider what it means to have a life that is challenged and impacted by the Spirit of God. For this to happen, we need to be deeply aware of the Spirit in our life. And to help us to do this today, we're going to talk a little bit about doves and pigeons. Now, as you know, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is often described as a dove. But did you know that there are real temperamental differences between doves and pigeons? This difference can also be seen in the genuine work of the Spirit, as opposed to doing stuff in our own strength. When we talk of the Spirit's activity in our life, we also talk of the anointing. And right at the end of our reading that we had, there were words something like this: Now it is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And then John, in his letter, his first letter, wrote, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." We are anointed to carry out God's work wherever in life we find ourselves. This is what the Holy Spirit does, and without His presence and anointing, we can only do the works of God in our own strength, which is a leading problem within the life of the church. Now, Paul wrote this: "Do not make the Holy Spirit sad." Now, sometimes we don't tend to think of, we think of God being sad, but actually the Spirit being sad. It's quite clear. Or as some translations put it, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." R.T. Kendall, who I've frequently spoken of, said this: "When the Holy Spirit is grieved, the anointing lifts. We usually feel nothing at the time. It isn't until some time later that we notice we have carried on out of habit or through the momentum of a natural gift." So he's noting three things here. One, the main reason why the Spirit removes His anointing and empowering is because we've grieved Him in some way. Secondly, the Spirit's departure is not always noticed because we can confuse natural God-given abilities with the Spirit's anointing. And thirdly, the Spirit's anointing can be restored to us, but only as we adjust our life to Him. Now, a true story which I've told on occasions before, is one about Sandy and Bernice, a British couple who worked as missionaries in Israel. And their house was near Jerusalem. And after they moved in, they discovered a dove was living in the attic. And they were thrilled. They considered it as a seal of God's approval, confirmation that they were in the right place. And one day they noticed an unsettling pattern in the dove's behaviour. Every time a door slammed, or if there was a lot of noise in the house, or if they raised their voices, the dove would fly away, sometimes not returning for quite a while. They realised that the dove was a very shy, sensitive bird. It was a bit curious, I've observed. And they worried, this worried them, so they felt that there was a danger of frightening it off permanently. Well, Sandy said, "Either the dove will adjust to us, or if we really want to make sure we never lose him, we will have to adjust our behaviour to the dove." They said, watching that dove was a daily reminder to them, and it changed their lives forever. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit was seen descending like a dove and landing on him. Matthew 3. John the Baptist said, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Why did he remain with Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit was at home with him. They were mutually adjusted to each other. Now this tells us something. It tells us that we can maintain unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit like Jesus. Why? Because if as a human, remember when Jesus walked this earth, though he was the Son of God, he divested himself of his divinity, didn't he? He released that. He was amongst us as a man. So as a human, Jesus was able to maintain an unbroken walk with the Spirit. It shows us that we can experience the same. Secondly, though the Bible teaches that the Spirit is given to each of us, this is to do with how God works through us. It is not about how long His presence stays with us. So, don't get trapped in pigeon religion. It's a nice sort of ring to that, doesn't it? Pigeon religion. I want you to that to get stuck in your mind. Don't get trapped by pigeon religion. What people think is the Holy Spirit could well be an imitation. Pigeons look a lot like doves, but they're very different. They belong to the same family of birds and look similar. But the pigeon is not the symbol of peace. It is not a pigeon that came down and remained on Jesus. The turtle dove, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, is different from a pigeon in interesting ways. Pete Cantrell, an expert on pigeon and turtle doves, makes some very interesting observations, and their relevance to the Holy Spirit is almost astonishing. He said, "Do you see that pigeon? Watch. He's getting ready to bully the pigeon next to him because it's perched on the spot that he wants himself." Sounds like kids. Sounds a bit like adults too, for the matter. But anyway, seconds later, it happened. Pete said, "I don't see that happening with turtle doves. Doves don't fight like that." It seems to me that many of the claims of the presence of the dove, the Holy Spirit, is nothing but pigeon religion, a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. At times, what is presumed to be the presence of God in our life is not the dove at all. It has been a pigeon that gave religious feelings. Here's how we can avoid making that mistake. It's very simple. Don't be fooled by appearances. We can be so easily convinced that what the Holy Spirit's presence looks like, and therefore presume he has come. Sometimes when people are prayed for, the weight of the Spirit is such that they can no longer stand, and so they fall down. And I've experienced that, and some of you here have as well. I can remember the first time quite clearly I experienced that. Just stands out in my mind with vivid, and I just could not stand. And as a musician, that was a problem. But the weight of the Spirit upon me was huge. Others will laugh and cry. And sometimes all that makes people uncomfortable. But God was in it. And I believe that they can be real signs of God's presence. But when it happens a lot, it's likely that there could be a natural explanation as well. Either disappointment if someone doesn't fall down. Now, R.T. Kendall relates a story which I could really relate to as well. He said that there was a time when a preacher was praying for everyone and they fell down and fell backwards into the hands of the catcher. And then the preacher came to me, says R.T., and I stood like a fence post. Nothing happened. He prayed once again. Then a third time. And I felt sorry for him and wanted to apologize for his embarrassment when I didn't fall down. I wanted to go down, I promise you. But I didn't want to be pushed over by a pigeon either. I'm not saying, he said, that the dove did not come down on some, if not all, the other people in the line. but I believe that their expectancy was so high that a pigeon could have done. Pigeons may be present whenever God shows up in genuine Holy Spirit power. One night, there may be the most awesome sense of God's presence. We may feel Him in the worship and the preaching and in the time of prayer ministry. People may be shedding tears of joy and repentance and laughing and crying. Many may be converted and many healed. And we can't wait for the next night. And that night, the same worship group leads with the same songs and hymns. The same preacher takes his text from God's Word. But it's not the same. It's almost as though on that night, God chooses not to show up somehow. I mean, He's there, but it's different. The important issue is this. Will those leading have the integrity not to manipulate people? Or will they feel that to be successful, the meeting must appear just like the previous one? And if they think that, it is likely that they will practice pigeon religion in order to get the same results. And in that sort of story, which I can see and know happens, the first night was genuine, the second night they just wanted it to be genuine. And just so subtly gave into something, rather than attending to what the Spirit may be working to do that night. And we are very formula, aren't we? You know, you pray for somebody this way and someone gets healed. So they just think, well, that's the way you pray for people to get them healed, so that's the way you do it next time. So we stop listening to what the Spirit is saying and we just go with what we think we know. If you were ever to ask me, do I actually know what's going to happen on a Sunday morning? My answer to you is, well, actually I don't. I know what the road plan is, but I actually do not know. I have no idea really what's going to take place because it's actually not about me. It's not about the structure. It's about what God's going to work. Does that mean we get it right all the time? No. Does it mean we get it right some of the time? I think absolutely. Because our humanity comes into this as well as our willingness to rest in the divineness of God. The genuine dove is like the wind that blows wherever it pleases. If we are truly sensitive to the Spirit, we will flow with the Spirit. And if we are equally sensitive to the absence of the power signs, we will honour God's sovereignty and will not pretend. It takes a lot of courage to surrender to the Spirit when He comes in power. It takes equal courage to be humble when He is quiet. Both are characteristics of the dove, the Holy Spirit, and can make us feel uncomfortable. There's nothing like a large crowd to counterfeit the presence of the dove. A big group can create an expectant atmosphere. Nothing sets a leader or a congregation up like a church that's filled with people. If there is a lack of discernment and sensitivity to the person of the Spirit, which is needed all the more at such a time, a pigeon could well come down and no one would know the difference. And I fear this has happened many times to the best of people. At first everyone becomes excited and wants to be in on what is happening. And this can continue for some time, but eventually someone wakes up to the sobering possibility that it was hype. And it hurts when you realize that you were taken in and that there was a very human explanation for everything that happened. This can happen to any of us, whether it is through speaking in tongues or through prophetic words or words of knowledge, all of which I am committed to and believe in. If we convince ourselves that God must show up, we will settle for almost anything. It's almost as if one's saying, well, if I can't have the dove, I'll take pigeon. But if we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, we ought not to settle for the counterfeit. Our heart's desire needs to seek the presence of God at all times, long for Him. It is what God has promised. It is His delight to draw near to us, to embrace us, to welcome us. But remember, we must adjust our life around Him. It's never the other way around. It's always about Jesus. Father, thank You for the profoundness of the love that You have for us that keeps coming back to us again and again. for it is your desire to work within us, to anoint us, to strengthen us for the tasks that you call us to do. Forgive us when we see something happen and get excited because we know that that's you, and then try and reproduce it. Help us to learn to rest in you and take our lead from you. Help us to know what your voice is saying, because we are attentive to listen. And Lord, when we get it wrong, when we settle for something else, or when we shy away and don't want to have anything to do with it because it makes us too uncomfortable, Holy Spirit, keep nudging us and drawing us in. For we know that you, God, want the very best for us, and you'll give to us the very best. So help us to seek that and that alone. And we thank you that all is found in Christ and Christ alone. Amen.
Amen.